Hi, I'm Katie Page.
And I'm Paul Ashton.
And we made a comedy feature film called This Isn't Funny that Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro helped us produce.
Along with us, it stars Anthony LaPaglia, Eddie Gathegi, Mimi Rogers, David Pasquese, Gia Carides, and Danielle Panabaker.
And it features some hilarious stand-up comedy from Beth Stelling, Ahmed Barucha, Will Weldon,
and Katie. And you can stream the film right now in the U.S. store of iTunes, on Google Play, and at Amazon.
And if you like it, please tell your friends, share it, and rate it.
Thanks so much, guys.
Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Meet the Movie Press. Roundtable movie news and commentary from the industry's premier film journalists.
Happy Friday the 13th. This is Meet the Movie Press.
Oh, it is.
It is Friday the 13th. That's probably why I'm seeing a lot of Jason Voorhees images online right now. I am Mark Riley, and I am managing editor at GeekNation.com.
Yes, that has a nice ring to it.
It does have a nice ring to it. I changed it up. If you guys didn't catch last week's show, I kind of made the announcement. It was on the Schmoes Know main show. Don't worry, I'm still a part of Schmoes Know. We are taking a little break from the main show. But I am here, as always, with
Jeff Snyder, film reporter, TheWrap.com.
Hell yes.
And today we are joined by one of our favorite guests.
Yes.
And our dear friend, Justin Kroll from Variety.
Welcome again, sir. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm good.
You're making a run for like the most appearances on Meet the Movie Press. You and, I would say, Niembe. Dickie's up there.
We'll have a five-timers club eventually, like SNL.
I like it.
I just had my third appearance on Ferrara's podcast.
I was going to say, this guy can go back and he's a podcast chameleon.
I think I
need my own. No, I always like coming back besides the damn drive.
Yeah, tough drive coming up here this morning.
I like the new digs, though. But
yeah.
I just wish you guys were like maybe
A little closer. I think we all wish.
Like, all location. Like, just like, you get over the 405, like, we're there.
I know.
And this time around, like, Jeff literally turned to me because we drove in together.
Right, we got off the highway.
He's like, I think meant Burbank, like Burbank, like Warner Bros. I was like, I do. We got to drive on Burbank Road for another 6 miles.
Yeah. And there's like, if you guys are all watching from home, there is so much traffic out there in LA. Do not move here. We don't need you. We can't have any more traffic.
Yeah, seriously.
We start late because of it. Anyways.
So yeah, let's dive right in.
Let's go
to the news.
There is a lot going on. So Jeff, take it. What's up?
Well, let's get Justin involved early on. Let's start with his Little Mermaid scoop, which hit last Friday afternoon.
It was the capital of the week.
And take it away.
Yeah. So what do we got here?
It's so Chloe Moretz is going to star in working titles Little Mermaid, not Disney's. It's not like their live action. It's a working title. Has been developing this for some time. I think it's more based on the book than the animated. And they got Richard Curtis. He's not closed yet. I think he's close enough where they wanted me to mention it. But he'll be writing it, not directing. They started looking for the director. But yeah, Richard, I mean, fantastic writer. Four Weddings and a Funeral, Love Actually, About Time,
which I still need to see.
I really like the choice. But yeah, the way the story went, Jeff mentioned, me and Jeff, so this has been a very interesting film because obviously Sofia Coppola was involved.
I was going to say, she dropped out. When was that? That was a while ago.
It was earlier this year,
Earlier this year, but she wanted a discovery. She was looking at Uma Thurman and Ethan Hawke's daughter.
Maya Thurman Hawke.
Maya Thurman Hawke.
Wow.
Who Jeff did mention when I broke it that she was an interest. And that was a name circling for a while. But, you know, she wanted the Discovery Universal and working title.
Understandably wanted an established star.
They felt like this needed one and there was more than enough actresses out there that could do this. You know, parted ways when they just couldn't get to that. And the search kind of went on. But when in fact it didn't. Chloe pretty much got the offer like 2 weeks later.
Wow.
I made a couple calls and funny thing is I found out she did have the offer. It was actually the day I broke that she was going to be in Neighbors 2.
Oh, funny.
That's
it
right.
It was like, well, that was the thing. They're like, this person's like, well, you know, we don't know if this film's real, blah, blah, blah.
I hear that all the time.
I did too. And I was like, but, and they're like, she is doing this. So I was like, oh, perfect trade-off. And I just kind of laid off.
I was going to ask you, how hard is it to do that, to not include a mention of Little Mermaid in that neighbor story.
Yeah, I mean, like, the neighbors was cool. I kind of, like, let it go. Like, you know, it's you know, it's trade journalism.
Clearly,
like,
yeah, your patience paid off. Sorry, continue.
No, no, but, like, we talked about it the first time I was on that I held off on Yates doing Fantastic Beasts for 4 months.
That's right.
It was a long wait. And, you know, I just – there's sometimes you got to run the front runner in the offer story, and other times – you know, you just – you got to be patient.
Let things play out.
Yeah, you don't – I didn't – like, Chloe has a lot on her slate. She's, you know, doing various things. So I just didn't know – and maybe she just – the way the film was already going, I don't know if this is something I want to attach myself
to. And there's an example of that that we'll be talking about later in the show, but yeah.
So then, like, I found out, you know, in August, it sounded like, you know, then I got word she had closed. Talked to a bunch of people, and they're like, we really want you to get the writer, too. I think you're going to be impressed. Can you hold off? And I was like, ah. All right.
That's tough.
So a month and a half rolled by, and I finally was just, like, getting a little worn. I just, like, was ready to
get antsy.
And I made a couple calls just to, you know, I didn't really poke around who the writer was. I just assumed they were going to hand it to me.
Yeah.
Found out it was Curtis. I was like, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So I.
That's a great call. Yeah.
Put their feet to the fire a little bit, and we pushed it out last week. I love, Chloe's, like, career arc's been very, very intriguing. Like, you look next year, she is The Fifth Wave,
mm-hmm.
a YA, like, franchise type thing.
Right, Neighbors.
Neighbors, November.
Which is Sorority Rising, so it's about her.
Yeah, she's she's the Efron this time. And then Brain on Fire and November Criminals.
Right.
And now this. Very intriguing slate, and with the Richard Curtis thing makes me feel like they're going for a mature feel to this film. They're not doing
something classy.
They want adults to come see this as much as children. So,
It was
a good scoop. It like kind of won the week a little
absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely.
I thought so. It was a great story. And guys, you're out there on the live chat on youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork. Join on in. And no, it's not Disney. Guys, this is the Hans Christian Andersen.
Universal and working title.
Yeah.
And I think she's a good fit for it. It'll be very interesting to see who they get to direct.
Yeah.
I'd like to see them hire a female director.
Yeah. I was a little, you know, I love Sofia Coppola. I haven't seen, she hasn't done, what was the last thing she did?
To me, she doesn't make accessible, commercially minded films. So.
She did The Bling Ring?
The Bling Ring.
It was a weird assignment for her to have gotten in the first place.
Right.
It was like an inspired kind of thing. Almost like, you know, Paul Thomas Anderson and Pinocchio.
I
don't think he walked away.
No,
I don't think he was ever going to direct it necessarily. I don't know if they expected it to.
I think they were maybe
you
trying.
Broke that scoop, right?
Pinocchio?
That he was going to be writing it?
No, that was THR. That's a long story. But
at the time, it was
that
mentioned
was the
that
last time
he
I
may
got
direct
really
Pinocchio.
Mad at someone just for stupidity. But
ooh, do tell. No?
Nah,
Justin's too classy.
The person has since made up for it. But I actually heard he's got a casting director for his untitled No One Knows next movie.
So he's doing something else, though. I don't think he's going to direct
Pinocchio. He did a pass. They may use his script. When that news broke, he was never directing it.
It's like in Pinocchio. Now Pinocchio's penis grows every time he lies.
Every time he lies. No, it's an interesting take on the
like
source material.
Like Boogie Nights.
No, so it seems like with him, he just basically finished his draft, turned it in, and walked away, right?
He gave his shout out. It's just what Warner Brothers wants for that film. Like they just Joe Wright and Panned and do so.
This
well,
is Team
so.
Downey too, correct? This is Robert
Downey
Jr.
He's Geppetto, so like he'll be very particular.
It's
of who
be interesting.
That.
Yeah, you need a certain kind of filmmaker. I never thought PTA was really a fit for the kind of Pinocchio I imagine that they want to make over there.
Right.
Let's dive into the fanboy stuff a little.
You want to do the fanboy stuff?
You kick it up. Why don't we talk a little Star Wars?
All right, guys.
Mark has a bone to pick.
I do have a bone to pick out there a little bit. Guys, you know that Star Wars is coming out soon? I think you do. Okay, so guys. A lot of Star Wars stuff is just, it seems like the dam is opened. I wanted to get your opinion on this, guys. The marketing has kicked in. We got the EW spreads, and they're going into a lot of characters that have been, up to this point, silent. Snoke, Andy Serkis' character, got a full write-up on EW.
Lupita
did. Things are starting. They're starting to pull back the mystery box just a bit. I don't think they're spoiling major things.
No.
I think they're really kind of just trying to get a while. Look at, I mean, TGI Thursday last night, ABC drops another TV spot. Now,
Owned by Disney.
Which is owned by Disney, of course. It makes a lot of sense.
Monday Night Football. Like, they're not stupid.
They're not stupid. They're rolling it out. I get it. Don't get me wrong. I totally get it. I want to ask you guys, though. As a huge fanboy of Star Wars, I don't want to see anything. I don't want to see anything more. I think they did it enough with this final trailer.
Here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
I don't want to see anything, right? I don't want to see anything. Don't look. I can't blame them for putting all this shit out because there are people who want to see it, and there are people who don't know the world as well and need that kind of crash course.
Yeah, it's
just don't look.
It's an argument that I will lose every time.
I understand both takes. Like, don't look. It's easy now. Like, they're not like where you clicked on Rick the. Never gonna let you down when you screw
Oh,
people.
Right. Getting Rick rolled.
Rick rolled. It's not like you're getting Rick rolled or something like that. Right. But this has been like, for years, people, like studio execs all the time always say, how are we gonna solve the marketing problem? Yeah. The marketing budgets on this thing are like, they don't let them out.
You can make another Star Wars movie with the marketing budget.
Astronomical.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, like they, like, by the way, Bond doesn't cost $650 million. There was a report that needs to make $650 million to break even.
Yeah, I heard that.
What a lot of that is the marketing that goes into it that no one really knows.
Right.
And I feel like with certain films, studios always get nervous. This is the one, like,
say it.
Why?
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Like, you could solve the money problem. So, like, the idea for movies is to make them profitable. Like, people ask, why do you make this film? Well, it makes money. Like, there's so many, like, it's a business, folks. I try to explain this. But, like, then I look from the business angle. I'm like, why are you spending so much money on something you know is going to work? Fandango broke the fuck down when they did the pre-sales.
But to play devil's advocate, if you're going to spend... You don't spend $200-300 million to make a movie and then not market it. Like,
I totally understand.
I get that, but like, I've had enough in conversations with execs over the years where they say that's the problem, where these like things go out of control. Like, they could make a simple marketing campaign, I feel like, that gets the word out and not spend that. Like, I just, like, you want to make money on these things. Like, you don't have to spend. I think someone once told me that for a budget that's $200 million, you have to market $100 million worth.
Yeah, I generally accept half on the big movies.
I do too, but I think for something like this, maybe you could do like $60 million. I think, like, I wonder if they do save some from these like ABC related ads.
If they're getting a cut.
I feel that they would a little bit though.
I don't know.
Though the TGIT stars need to make money, so you would hope that they, like, right, oh, Star Wars is doing our thing this week. We'll probably get a raise or something.
So, Mark,
like,
you wrote an editorial about it,
yeah,
though, right?
I wrote it. If you guys go to geeknation.com, I wrote an editorial on it. And I was, guys, this is what was surprising to me. I wrote it on Wednesday, dropped it, like, mid-Wednesday, and I was destroyed. I got a lot of backlash saying, what are you talking about? Nobody knows about, like, the wide audience doesn't know about Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I want to see that. They're not ruining anything. And then yesterday, EW starts really laying it on thick with some of the, you know, stories that they're doing, this, and that. And last night, the second TV spot drops. I posted it up on Geek Nation, and on the Facebook page immediately is, I've seen too much now. It just changed overnight. I started getting people to start tweeting going, nah, I agree with you now. It's too much. Now, I get it, guys, and I get what you're saying, devil's advocate, all this. Why can't we just have what we already have and just keep playing it, and that's it?
Well,
every time there's a new TV spot, there is new footage. Why do we need the new footage when we already have this other footage out there?
Surprised people haven't done the Amazing Spider-Man thing where they edit all the footage together, and it's like, who wants to watch a 40-minute cut of Star Wars?
They have a little bit. They actually have. Yeah.
Well, I've seen the Ultimate trailer, which was cool, actually.
Right?
But why do you need so many TV spots? Just use, like, two TV spots and play them over and over and over again.
Right.
So then, like, you get it. Oh, I know it's coming out December 18th. That's all that marketing is there for, is to let you know when something's out. People already have gone batshit for these trailers. Like,
right.
Just use the same one over and over again.
That's what I'm saying. And I look at the litmus test for me is my father, who he goes, you know, there's another Star Wars movie coming out. This was like 2 months ago. Like, so he's aware of it. He's already aware of it. Monday Night Football just cemented it for him. So I think everybody pretty much knows it's there, and I'm worried that we're now a month out. We're almost a month out, and there's going to be, like, probably three or more TV trailers.
There'll be a half dozen more trailers, I think.
I think we're going to get behind-the-scenes looks. All I'm thinking about is Avengers, Age of Ultron, and even Spider-Man 2. It just got to that point.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. It seems are the marketing and publicity departments in sync? Because it's like,
yeah,
the marketing people have to sell it, but it seems like the publicity people actually want to hold it back and I mean, retain some mystery.
Is as important, if not more important, than some of these other things. And and like, I mean, Stu Kroll is running a studio. Like, Adam Fogelson was running a studio. Stu Kroll is now one of those people atop the tree at Warner Brothers.
Yeah, I mean, she's a decision maker.
So, yeah, they're in line, I would think.
Yeah. But, yeah. And, guys, I see you on there, and it says, you know, you're with Jeff. Yeah, don't watch. What I'm talking about is the phenomenon that is social media, that everybody takes these shots from the trailer, freeze frames, and puts them up on social media. And
brings out the magnifying glass.
Yeah, you literally have to avoid social media now, which is, you know, say what you will, it's pretty hard not to.
My eyes just glaze over when I see anything Star Wars.
No, I get it. I'm a different breed of fan. I love it. So.
I didn't look at the images. So, I mean, I don't mind those.
Were there 27 new images?
I mean,
27. Yep.
Why do I want to click on that? I'll see the fucking images in a month.
Did they snow?
I was pushing and I finally stopped.
Did they show what Circus looks like?
They have not shown, but they did.
It's behind the scenes, right?
It was behind the scenes, and then he gave an interview.
Right. Where he described the character. Like, I don't know the fucking description.
Yeah, well, that's part of the mystery that we don't want to know.
That is the actors feeling pressure from the media to answer these stupid fucking questions.
Thank you. Yeah.
And basically, it's because too many stupid fucking people in the media have access to these stars.
Yeah.
I would actually like to see – I'm just amazed at some of the people – like the people who get interviews with actors and directors, and it's just, I don't know.
EW, I get, and I'm sure they had this planned a long time. They had their stories ready. I get it. It's just an interesting time for the marketing. I get it. Blah, blah, blah. Let's move on because we have a lot of
other news. That was our
Star
Wars.
That was our Star Wars breakdown. What do you think?
Let's
tweet
move from that franchise to another franchise.
Let's do it.
Die Hard.
Die Hard. This is an interesting thing happening. And I would say social media really helps this now.
Sort of.
Also, money helps when in the
you
case
have to,
of.
But we know money helps. This. Yeah.
Let's set it up. This screenwriter with like one credit to his name or whatever, fairly unknown, took out an ad in the Hollywood Reporter, which I'm sure doesn't come cheap.
Nope.
Although I think that their salespeople said that they gave him a break because he's obviously not a big corporation.
Sure.
Took out an ad with a full page pitch for a new Die Hard movie.
Right.
What did you guys think of the pitch, first of all?
First of all, it reminded me, and Jeff will remember this, when Corey Haim bought a full-page ad and
said,
Hollywood, I'm ready to go back to work. Jeff had that on his desk for months.
It was awesome. It was quite the joke.
And we all wondered, like, how much, like, he has to be broke. How much did he pay to get this ad in Variety? It was a big ad, too.
Yeah.
But,
Good memory.
The first thing I thought of was and the first thing I was like, bro, that's like a lot of money you just spent. Like,
yeah,
probably if anything, you're not Neil Blomkamp. Like, I bet you he thought like he
right.
was like
right.
he saw that's the good... Fox like thing like really got behind like the Deadpool like
right.
leaked footage.
They're just taking people off
the,
Twitter.
The Neil Blomkamp like visual images. Those guys have done like movies and like those were like real things. He thinks that like if that thing can stir up social media, this will get him a job. I don't know. I mean, did you guys read it? I did read it.
I read it. Did you?
No, I just...
Oh, like, what did you... Then you're out of this next question. What did you think of the pitch?
I didn't like it. I'm going to be quite honest with you. I think it's pretty forced to have John McClane go to jail. I get it that it's a set piece that kind of sounds good on paper, but I just don't... I don't like the idea of the prequel in any way, and he's merging that prequel idea with them putting him in prison and then bringing his wife in, which seems difficult and forced to put a wife in a prison setting. So it just didn't work for me.
Is Bonnie back?
I do.
Oh, I love that.
At this time,
she's still around.
I was always bummed they kicked her out of the third one.
I'm a little biased. I'll get to that in a bit, but it didn't work for me.
So Mark Miller or Mark Millar. We're not sure how to pronounce the last name. He did a take on the pitch. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. Yes,
actually. That to me was actually kind of interesting. Maybe just because I'm a reporter, but I like the idea of like this reporter from the first movie, like feeling burned, and just the idea that John McClane has walked away from five major international incidents, like
I dug
a conspiracy
that.
Theory thing. Like, how is this guy, this one man, at all these things?
William Atherton's character was that?
Yeah. That was part of the pitch.
Yeah.
that he caused suspicion to it, and
yeah,
I mean, I don't know. It was kind of interesting.
Let me build off of that, because it's an interesting thing happening with Die Hard in particular. There's something, it's serendipitous going on right now, because I'm talking to a friend of mine in London by the name of Ben Treblecook. Ken Knapsack knew him, and he introduced us via Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a script that is Die Hard, but it incorporates, it brings all the, our favorite characters back together, mm-hmm. including Samuel Jackson's Zeus. And it basically, the pitch is the anniversary of Nakatomi Plaza. John McClane, and I believe Zeus gets her. I have the script. I want to read it, but I hear it's phenomenal. Nakatomi Plaza has a anniversary. They bring John McClane there, and then shit goes down. And it's called Old Habits Die Hard. And I love the title.
Yeah.
From all I've heard, I have a lot of colleagues who have read this. They love it. Ben is sharing some stories with me via email that he's gotten very close with actually getting it to certain people that are part of the Die Hard franchise, including Bruce Willis. So it'll be interesting to see. I think it's just very interesting.
I feel like... Yeah. Len, it's dead. Like, anybody who's pitching this now, it's dead. Like, the studio has decided to go with Len. Len's like...
Yeah, that's what I understand.
That's the thing.
This is not an open writing assignment.
That's the thing.
Like, guys, like, Len pitched his idea. He has the script probably writing right now. Like, stop it. Like,
yeah, you know, say what you will. I did see when, and a lot of people are on the live chat doing, you know, Little Mermaid Year One, you know, that was coming out.
Right.
You know, I get it. Die Hard Year One. Len Wiseman tweeted that image out, and I saw nothing but hate. I just couldn't believe how many people didn't like this idea, but they're moving on it. And Bruce Willis is, you know, of course, getting, what do you think of the Die Hard prequel? What is he going to say? It sucks?
I think everyone has opinions on this just because Die Hard has been so disappointing the last few outings.
Thank you.
The last two outings, and everybody really loves that character in
you
that
know
franchise.
What, it's missing, everybody talks about Bruce, it's missing John McTiernan. Like,
thank
like,
you.
When he was, like, those three films, I mean, I know Rennie did the second one, and that too, those... What it's missing, and it was edgy, and just like now that these are watered down, like I know the fifth one was rated R, but like,
well, in order to keep up with the rest of the franchises today, Die Hard has had to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and more unrealistic.
Which
and what was nice was that it was just one regular guy.
That's right,
in an extraordinary situation, and there weren't. I don't
he's
know,
becoming
like,
super heroic.
He doesn't have to save the world.
Right.
He can save a tower.
Thank you.
Or an airport. Or I mean, the third one was a city, necessarily. I mean, that one's still my favorite just because of many elements.
Simon Says.
I remember El Mayimbi a while back said that when they were planning the sixth film that Sam Jackson was involved. Like, they were trying to bring
They should try to have him back.
But, like...
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. Like, I get the business of Hollywood that these branded things, they can't afford. Like, a lot of these films just keep falling through. Guys, the reason why they keep doing this is because you guys don't go to the movies for some of these franchises, or these movies just suck.
Everybody,
there was a big story about what happened to the movies in October. Why was it a dumping ground? Because they all weren't good movies. Like, none of those I wanted to go see after they filmed, except for Jobs. Jobs was the one film I thought was fantastic, well made.
Jobs. Yeah.
But it is what it is. You're not as surprised. Like, Crimson Peak, if I had heard it was a masterpiece, I would have been there. I'm a big Del Toro supporter. I like the Hellboy movies. I like Blade 2.
Right. I didn't go see Burnt. I was bugging Weinstein Company for weeks about screenings for
that.
And
that's the thing,
too, is now I've missed it.
You can see the radio. Let's talk about this real fast. Who wasn't scared when they heard that Arms and the Dudes is 2 weeks after Suicide Squad comes out yesterday?
I wasn't worried about that.
Nervous that they put that, I mean.
Like mid-August? Like
Suicide Squad
never
to me
date.
Is going
to
own August the way Guardians
of the Galaxy,
did. They put those films there to just destroy the competition. Kind of like Martian destroyed October. So I'm a little, I mean, I'm behind that film because of how hard Todd went into it. And I really love that it's post-Angle.
Oh, great story. I read the Rolling Stone story that's
but
based
like,
on.
It just
kind of
makes you slightly nervous. Like, what was wrong with the March? I mean, I guess. I don't know. I always get, like, I guess there's so much stuff nowadays that, like.
Put it this way, Arms and the Dudes. It would have been 4 months away if it came out in March. And we hadn't even seen an image until yesterday's deadline story.
I missed all this. What are you,
there was, they moved the date. It's Todd Phillips' next movie, Arms and the Dudes.
Okay,
Jonah Hill,
you.
Miles Teller.
Right.
I'm super pumped for it, but they moved it from March 11th to 2 weeks.
We took a detour.
Yeah. No, that's fine. That's what we do here on Meet the Movie
Press.
Sorry.
Anyways, I just, you know, back to Die Hard with this guy. I don't think it was, I think it was a waste of money.
Yep.
I don't think he's going to get a job doing it.
No, I think it's fun.
I admire the passion.
Yep.
But that passion comes at a serious price.
Yeah. It's a studio.
Yeah. There's a reason that screenwriters don't hit Twitter and give out their best ideas.
Right. And look, guys, this is a studio project. This is a branded thing that they're really trying to get right. And look, they're going the prequel route. I don't even know what they're going to do with Bruce Willis. Benjamin Button his face on a smaller, thinner body. I don't know, but
they were vague when that first story broke about how Bruce would be involved.
Yeah.
Like, he's involved developing it, but, like, if you know year one, like,
I think it's pretty clear
that he plays a different character. Wait, what would you?
I think they're going to hire a younger. It's like Looper. They're going to have Looper. A younger actor play John McClane at simultaneously while Willis is playing John.
Oh,
McClane.
So it's like two storylines,
two versions of it.
Somebody was saying, if they do it like Godfather 2, it'll work. I'm like, well, there you go.
Yeah, you're trying to see these two paths, and I'm sure that they'll meet at the end.
I think it's fine. Yeah, I don't think we need it anymore. I mean, the prequel for Die Hard is actually the Die Hard movie. That's John McClane, year one. I'm sorry, it's just the regular Die Hard.
It is.
So I don't think we need it, but I'm going to bang on that drum anymore. Let's move on and talk more, because
I actually wanted to ask you, Justin, about Van Helsing.
Yeah.
So you broke a story this week that John Spates, who did Prometheus and Doctor Strange, that he's going to co-write the script with Eric Heiser, who did Story of Your Life, which is coming up, and a couple of other cool genre movies. So how did that all go down, and sort of tell, let's talk
it's
about the monster
quick.
Universe.
This wasn't a 5-month thing. It was like day of, to be honest, and it just, I think they had been attached for a while. I think the deal's been done for a while, and I just kind of, like, no one really reported it. No one, for whatever reason, didn't get it out there. There's a couple things in here. So, John and Eric are going to be co-writing Van Helsing. Their Van Helsing reboot. First off, people had asked about Tom Cruise was attached when they did the whole Van Helsing or monster movie.
That was like 10 years ago,
He's no longer involved with this. So this is like their fresh take.
Yeah.
But a couple cool things. The monster, this classic monster universe that Universal is prepping hasn't been getting the same love as Transformers, Marvel, DCU. But I really think what they're doing is very intriguing. They've made it clear, like, that Chris Morgan and Alex Kurtzman are like the showrunners of this universe in a way. They're compiling what they're doing, and they actually came up with a writer's room that John's involved with. He wrote the Mummy reboot that's getting started up right now. And then Eric was involved with that. I didn't get any other names because I didn't really have time to look into it. But they are doing this kind of writer's room so that people know where this thing is going to go. And the interesting thing is that I know for a fact that they've been trying to find a type of Nick Fury-esque character that's going to jump from each of these films. I don't know. I'm getting a sense that all these monster movies are going to be set in present day. That way it makes sense for whoever this character is to jump. What I also couldn't figure out if Van Helsing is that character.
I think it makes perfect sense. He hunts monsters. He should hunt them all together. Like, or he shows up and the monster's like, oh shit, Van Helsing's here. But he's like, no, I want to talk to you.
But it would make a lot of sense that we also get a Van Helsing pretty soon, because he would probably have to like have a cameo in The Mummy. From what I understand, and the person I talked to was, they got a previs of what this universe is going to be. They were excited. Like, this person wasn't excited about Jurassic World after he saw it. Hmm. So he's like
the mummy's going to be female, right?
I think I read something like that.
From
what I understand, this is actually something we should be, all these other universes, this is one I would keep an eye on, because they understand how the last Wolfman went, and how, like, some of these other monster movies have kind of flopped a little bit.
Yeah.
And the Dracula year one didn't work out. But
God, that was so bad.
Yeah.
But they're I have a good sense. And I like, we talked about this on the way over. I like this pairing, to be honest.
Yeah, I like the pairing a lot of John and Eric, who are both really talented writers. Here's the thing for me. These movies cannot be four quadrant PG-13 family-friendly movies. They're supposed to be monster movies. They're supposed to be scary.
Yes,
thank you. Like, harken back to the real, like, the good old days. Like, I just hope that they don't sanitize this shit.
I'm worried that's what they're going to do, just to hit those quadrants, which sucks.
Kurtzman and Morgan involved, I have to imagine they are, because they've only ever done PG-13 rated films.
It's fine if it's fine. It's like, I don't even care about the rating. I just want scary, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, scary doesn't have to be gore, right? I mean, well, it could be. I mean, it's the way
I want actual
executed.
Suspense. Well, I don't want an action movie with monsters.
Thank you. Like the old Van Halen scene. Yeah. You know, Jackman one was.
They had done that with.
God awful.
It had such potential, too. Like, I love that kind of, like, that opening sequence. I really was, like, the black and white from the original Van Helsing. And then just,
oh, yeah.
What was up with... That's right. Was Eli Roth going to do a movie? Wasn't it Harker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, Liam Neeson
and
shit?
It's just one of those films that just never got...
And Russell Crowe, maybe?
They were attached, and things just fell apart. He's doing Meg, right now. That'd be cool. We'll see. But yeah, I'm with you. I'd love to see something different look. I don't know. Mm. But I did, the way they explained it, they have an idea. But yeah, I would love to see if they could get one of these films to be like scary.
Right.
Yeah, that would be great. Hey, how ideal, huh? Monster movie scary. What else? Let's move on.
There's a ton of stuff. I actually wanted to ask, let's have this conversation.
Yeah.
Collateral Beauty.
Let's do it.
So David Frankel replaced Alfonso Gomez-Rejon as director of this challenging Will Smith project. It's the logline has always been a little unclear, but I understand it to be like a kind of ambitious movie.
I don't know if the script was on the blacklist,
but
I've heard the original script is fantastic. It's about an exec that has a tragedy in his life at the time of a major merger with his company, aka Collateral Beauty. Mm-hmm. And he's goes into a tailspin, and he's like leading this march, and like it's this deal begins falling apart, and the people around him, while they're trying to help him grieve, at the same time are trying to get him back into a space where he can get this business deal done. There's more to it, obviously, about like you know personal choices over bit like your career choices, whatnot, and you know, the original idea was Alfonso to direct. He just did Me and Nero, one of my favorite films of the year.
Yeah, it
was
great.
Balanced, drama with comedy.
So how'd they wind up with the Marley and Me guy? Because to me, it was another example of Will Smith choosing the path of least resistance.
Right.
I do not feel like Will Smith works with the kind of directors that Will Smith should be working with.
I totally agree.
I know he worked with Michael Mann. But no, if you look at the list of directors Will Smith has worked with, it's kind of embarrassing. They're all fairly anonymous journeymen. Michael Mann is really the only one that it stands out.
Yeah, you're probably... I mean, it's been a while since I've looked at the list. I always look at, like, you know... You're right.
So tell me how that all went down. Well, because I wasn't a part of that.
Originally it was Alfonso, Hugh Jackman, and Rooney. If Hugh had stayed involved, Alfonso stays involved, Rooney stays involved, and this film's shooting a month ago.
Right.
But like, wow. For whatever reason, they couldn't get they wanted a big ensemble. I said Jason Segel, John Hamm was chasing at some point. But a lot of these things have come and gone now because the film's moved on, and John got Baby Driver, and Rooney just fell off to find something else. I feel that we would have gotten that film, but once Will attached himself, you know, things, you know, they just couldn't get these things right, and Alfonso left. You know, right, my understanding, Alfonso didn't get the film he wanted, and they started meeting with, it was John Carney that met Glenn, the Crazy Stupid Love guys that did Focus with Will.
Ficarra, yeah.
Jason Bateman was involved, was in the mix, which is interesting because he's, you know, this would have been a very interesting choice for him, but that, you know, that didn't come with him. So in the end, David Frankel gets it. I mean, yeah, it's just, I was just like,
really? I don't know if there was something like interesting about that scoop and how you got it or whatever.
I mean, at the end of the day, they went with, I think, the safe choice.
Yeah.
Is it the safe choice? Because David's never done a film that this is a challenging film. This is a film where, like, you have to hit the right notes and whatnot. So, yeah, I mean, I Jeff's a little right. Like, Will, like, you know, but, like, you look at, like,
I'm gonna take a conversation away from you right now. Sorry. So Will Smith, like, I want to talk about Concussion. I saw Concussion
this
week at AFI.
You're blowing up on the board here, and I want to hear about it.
Concussion is another example of a movie where if Will Smith had worked with a better director, Concussion could have been really special.
Really?
Peter Landisman did a good job. I thought Concussion was okay. It was good, not great. It needed a bolder approach. And Landisman is a former investigative journalist. Yeah. He does long form journalism. He researched the shit out of this.
Yeah.
And in that sense, it all lines up and adds up and,
sure.
You know, seems pretty accurate, but it's too rigid an approach. It's too formal. It feels like a journalist made the movie. And because of that, it's a little boring and dreary. So I think that is sort of an extension of what we're sort of trying to get at. Which is that I wish Will Smith worked with more interesting directors. And
okay.
I think David Ayer, obviously, with Suicide Squad, that was like a big deal for
that
him to go and do that movie.
Yeah.
I knew the point that you were trying to make. I was like, let me help you.
Okay.
David Ayer is a great call for Will Smith, and I think it's really going to pay off for his career, that movie, Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I hope. I hope he doesn't have a lot of...
It was a risk.
Yeah, it's a risk, I guess, for him. And I'm wondering, you know, because I've heard storylines, and it like, I'm hoping he's not trying to make it more of a Will Smith movie. Like, him being, like, a
but
good
it's not,
guy.
It's not about Will Smith trying to do it. Like, yeah. Will Smith... is going to bring in a lot of people to this movie.
Absolutely.
So it is them tailoring
one,
Concussion
it. Or
Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
It's them tailoring the movie to his talents and giving him more screen time or a bigger backstory about a fuller arc.
Uh-huh. Yes.
You know,
like I get
we saw glimpses of his family, I think, in the trailer.
That makes sense. That's kind of his motivation. He's a good guy
trying
to do
right. You can't blame Will
Smith
for this kind of thing where you think he comes in big time
to
production.
Will definitely, it was down to, Will was making decisions on this in terms of who he wanted to work with.
On Collateral Beauty.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Exactly.
Okay.
Of course. And I understand that. A lot of stars do that. You know, that they come in, they're the main attraction
the
here,
film
and they want to have
a
hand in who they're going to be working with. So.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, that's so. Would you recommend Concussion?
I would recommend Concussion. The release date has never made sense to me. I don't know who is rushing to see this movie on Christmas Day with their family.
Right.
Why would
right.
you want to spend Christmas seeing a movie like this?
I'm with you on
that, man. The supporting cast was all pretty good. I liked Albert Brooks a lot. David Morse is great as Mike Webster. It is a powerful, important movie, but with football airing on Christmas, like, I feel like football fans are going to go and see that.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
I thought Alec Baldwin was a little out of place.
Really interesting. Yeah. Okay,
but check it out.
All right,
let's talk about the Quali stuff yesterday. That was fun.
The what?
Yeah,
dude. So yesterday, my inbox blows up. Deadline has dropped a story that Rainey Quali, the daughter of Andy McDowell, has landed the female lead in Adam Wingard's next movie, Death Note, which is going to star Nat Wolff. And I love Adam Wingard.
Yeah.
But there's a but.
Big but.
5 minutes later, THR comes in and says that it's actually Margaret Qualley, her sister, who got the role.
And then
interesting.
And Jeff then bugged in and was like, sorry. Jeff bugged in and was like, I wonder who could be wrong here. And lo and behold, Justin tweeted, by the way, guys, it's Margaret, not Rainey.
Okay.
Just to let that know.
Right.
So,
it was like Deadline THR in one corner, and then Kroll comes in and like awards the victim.
I'm not the defining moment. Her mom is Andy McDowell.
Yeah.
Big fan of hers. Great in the 90s. Loved her in Groundhog.
What did you do last year?
I did a Andy McDowell big Magic Mike double XL story a while back. And Andy, you know, I was an exclusive, and she started following me. She doesn't tweet. I don't ever see anything. But she started following me. And 30 seconds after I said, you know, we're waiting for the decision, Andy favorites my tweet, by the way.
About Margaret getting it.
Interesting.
And kind of. And then probably 10 minutes later, I eventually posted, but 10 minutes later, there was a correction issue that it was Margaret.
And from Deadline.
Yeah, Deadline.
Okay.
Like, they blasted the correction, which
there
I
guess.
Oops. And they said oops. Yeah.
And we've all been there, by the way. I was a dick on Twitter yesterday.
I did a Lady Gaga.
And rubbed it in.
I followed Lady Gaga and X-Men, like when Bryan Singer did his an April Fool's joke.
We've all been there.
And guys, this is a little
but
known.
But yes, I did love to
but it was
rub it
in. We don't talk about that. Like, so this is Meet the Movie Press. So it's interesting to see because you guys represent the trades, which is always a very interesting process for me. Like just when you wait for months on a
right
scoop.
Because I don't think a blogger would do
bloggers
that.
Bloggers will not
do.
Oh, absolutely not. They will get something. And they, you know, they got to go with it, you know, they might be very, very secure in it. But no, it's just interesting to see. And Deadline sometimes has these weird kind of, you know, hey, here's an exclusive.
Well, they did. It was the Mariah Carey thing that they also got wrong, which I, you know, parroted like a robot as well on Twitter.
Okay,
I never wrote the story, but. So yeah, they had two kind of high profile inaccuracies.
Okay.
And like, which, with like elements of truth. Like, I can see where someone told Deadline, like, hey, Andie MacDowell's daughter got that part in Death Note, and they just like, oh, it's Rainey Qualley, let's go.
Right.
Like,
they kind of just grabbed the daughter. There could have been some.
Or yeah. However it happens.
It's just, Margaret's kind of like, do you watch Leftovers?
No.
She's the daughter on the Leftovers. She's doing, I mean, she's phenomenal on the show.
And I
the
hear,
show's fantastic, by the way.
And I hear her name on lists and stuff like that. I'm sure you've heard her name for different projects. I never knew Rainey Qualley.
She was in the mix for Finding Alaska, Margaret.
Looking for
we're
Alaska,
on Margaret right now. She's in The Nice Guys with Ryan Gosling, like Shane Black, Ryan Gosling, Russell Crowe. And, you know, and then she gets this. And it's, this could put her in, above The Leftovers, you know, put her in that status of, you
yeah,
know,
Death
of,
Note sounds really cool. Like, yeah. It's based on a manga, and it's, I think it's basically,
Wingard's
if Nat Wolf wants to kill someone, he just, like, writes their name in a notebook, and then something bad happens to them.
It's like
Lullaby, Chuck Palahniuk's Lullaby.
Oh, yeah.
But on paper instead
and Wingard's,
of singing
you know, fantastic
a song.
Director with Your yeah, Next. Yeah, we both love him. The guest. But
oh, man, I just finally saw Your Next, and it's amazing.
It's a lot of fun.
Oh, man.
It happens, but, like,
It was just fun because it was Deadline. And it had two people on the byline.
It took two
people to get that story completely wrong. So, yeah, that was a fun one, you know, just for Justin and I personally, I think, yesterday.
Boris, I know, had a fun time with it.
Death Note is amazing, says the dork in the booth. I love it.
Nice. I do want to check that out.
I'm glad it's moving. Like, I'm glad they're really revving it up because those, you know, sometimes these films that just don't have quite the branded situation, right. You always worry. And
sure.
Yeah, it's good. All right, what else is out there?
What did you guys think of the Warcraft trailer?
Yeah, let's talk about that because that came later in the day last week after last week's show. I love Duncan Jones. Okay, let me just say that.
Yeah.
Based on Moon.
Moon Source Code. I love Source Code. That was on the other night, and I just like got sucked in again. With Warcraft, I just couldn't. I'm sorry. I know people said it. It just looked like Lord of the Rings to me a little bit.
Yeah.
I just couldn't. And that's what I thought.
It
looks interesting. I'm gonna see the hell out of it.
I'm gonna see it.
Because
I like Travis. I'm a big Travis supporter, and I hope
That was actually a refreshing element. And I will be honest, I was skeptical of Travis Fimmel being the lead in this movie. He just looks different. I see the same fucking 10 guys in every goddamn movie.
Yeah.
It's nice to see somebody a little different.
Yeah, he stands out. So, that was always an interesting choice. But, I mean, he does, like, Vikings is doing well. I don't watch
that
show.
I don't watch Vikings.
But, you know, he seemed like an interesting. I mean, it's a guy. The thing is, I could, after Travis and Paula Patton, everyone else is unrecognizable. I guess Toby Kebbell's in it.
Yeah, it has a really.
Ben Foster, I did notice briefly, but he's bearded up.
Okay.
But the guy from Pacific Rim, the big guy.
Max Martini? Rob. I know what I'm talking about.
They're all like, you can't. It's like, you know, in Apes with Toby Kebbell and Andy. Rob Kaczynski. But this, I'm just like, I wonder if that's. I know they're not big stars, but I wonder if that like plays into like whether people dive into this. I know there was a lot of like. Interesting reactions on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's a we'll see type of thing. I think they were smart to move it away from Star Wars.
Yes, for sure. I never played World of Warcraft.
Me neither.
I'm not really excited by fantasy in general. I don't watch Game of Thrones, for example.
Right.
It's not really my kind of movie, and I don't think the trailer did anything to convince me otherwise.
I mean,
telling thing.
It looked like Jack and the Beanstalk to me a little.
I won't go that far. It looked like Avatar a little bit when he jumps on the back of that.
Yes. Yes.
Right. But. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. The thing that's kind of telling, our traffic numbers on trailers are always intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much.
Ooh, okay.
Compared to like another, like Chi-Raq, that trailer came out and it did really well because people are very curious about it. I thought people would be curious about this one and it didn't have quite the pickup I thought it would.
Let me ask you, do you pay attention to the numbers?
For trailers
and just like are you the kind of guy who's checking out the traffic board a lot?
I go back and forth, yeah, because I'm that's part of my job there is to kind of keep people aware and whatnot and
right.
like let you know so people are busy. So
what's
I'm like,
working? What should
I mean,
we be
obviously
focusing on?
Our mutual friend Stu is very much involved with that, but
of course.
Trailers are very telling and like that's why I've told people like Suicide Squad. And Batman, don't worry for Warner Bros. Because I feel like what I've seen from those trailers, people want to go see that.
Cause
into that. But,
yeah, they didn't have a superhero movie out this year.
It's kind of a telling thing sometimes because, like, you know, Fast 8, all those, Fast 7, all my stuff went through the roof of traffic.
Yeah, I mean, it helps us know where to focus. Exactly. So. We have like, I don't know, 10 minutes left on the show or whatever, so let's get to Gambit.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, we got to talk about Gambit.
Report last night from THR that Doug Liman was in nearing a deal to direct Channing Tatum's Gambit.
Sure.
I followed quickly after because I think we had all kind of heard it earlier in the week.
Yeah.
I imagine this is something you'd been tracking.
I mean, I can't deal with Fox anymore.
Right,
but
yeah. Justin has a personal conflict there, but okay. I'm sure, you know, someone else,
it's one studio, so I help with that stuff.
Right.
We were involved. We had a pre-written story, like, just in case something went about. The thing is, it was out, like, someone had let it loose. That's why THR didn't even name it's exclusive. Like,
that's right. Deadline had sort of intimated that it was going to be Liman.
I thought you were mentioning that at one point, Jeff.
I think there was a list of three names,
and sure. It was kind okay. of obvious that if Doug Liman wants to do it, he's going to be the guy who gets
Doug
it out of these names.
Talking for at least, I last found out about when the Star Wars... When was Monday Night Trailer? That was a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, a couple
He's
weeks
He's been
ago.
Talking
yeah,
about yeah. working a schedule since that day.
Right.
He was
okay.
the only one. Everyone was out, so that's been a while.
I see.
Okay. The interesting couple dominoes that I can talk
yeah,
about that are intriguing.
Bring it on.
Tom Cruise and Doug wanted – they've worked twice. They did Edge of Tomorrow. Maine is coming up. They wanted to do Luna Park, this kind of like passion project of
right.
Doug about this.
Oh,
like,
that's right. Yeah.
This, it's like a Dirty Dozen movie to the Mars to get
moon.
Like this mineral – it's
to the moon, right?
The moon. The yeah. moon, yes.
What, get unobtainium, something like that? No.
They're trying to get some kind of like fossil fuel to help the planet or something
See, thank
like that.
Thank you. I like that.
But the idea was is Tom's doing Reacher right now.
Right.
The Paramount wants him to do Mission Impossible next summer shoot, but
okay.
There was a spring slot. Like Tom's work, I was amazed how much time. But like there was this spring slot because Jack's, I think, only about a 2 or 3 month. It's not mm-hmm. a huge movie, so they didn't need too much. Like after Christmas, I think it's done. There was an opening for these two to do this movie. What's intriguing now is Luna will obviously get moved because that's Doug's before
right.
Tom. So because Doug will be doing this instead. Watch Tom Cruise will be someone to keep an eye on. I know he's holding a lot of stuff right now.
Because he has an open spring slot,
open
is what you're saying?
Open spring slot. That this domino affects like a lot of other films down the road.
I wonder if Disney will get a move on that Bob the Musical.
We'll
yeah.
see. Okay. I'm not going to say anything.
Justin's holding cards close to his back.
There's cards. I can't say, obviously, because
yeah.
I'm not, you know, I don't want you. I've seen what you crazy people do when Jeff says something here or there. But
oh,
the,
yeah. No, you don't want to do it here.
But, like, you know, maybe there's something I've already said that, you know, he does. Maybe it's something I haven't
oh.
said. But there's, keep an eye on Tom. Maybe he just takes the spring off to get ready for Mission because I know how hard he trains for that.
Sure.
He's
but planning
there
to
is,
stunt
there
now.
Is time, I believe, for them to do something because Mission's not dated. They just want a summer, so you could do August.
I always like seeing Tom Cruise do those kind of like standalone movies outside of Mission or Jack Reacher, the franchise
Mina.
Stuff.
Like I'm very curious how
yeah,
this Mina film is.
Well, let's let me go back to Gambit for a bit, you
yeah,
guys,
go back,
because
sorry.
A lot of the fans are asking this, and the first thing that's coming out of the mouth is, "Great, another director to drop out." So
he's
yeah,
in.
He's in. I think. Yeah, it feels
yeah.
like it's gonna finally go through, and he's a good. I think that's a fantastic choice. I think he's a great director. I love Edge of Tomorrow. So I think it's interesting because he hasn't really done a franchise, like a branded franchise.
I'm surprised he said yes, honestly.
Okay, this is, yeah. Why
just
are you surprised?
Well, I'm down on the project.
Yeah.
I don't know about its cinematic potential. I don't know.
I'm crossing my fingers
we'll
optimistically.
I heard the script is fantastic. That,
really?
That is one thing that people, like, time and time again said, get excited about this. Like,
okay.
Like agents across town were actually like, high on this thing.
That makes me happy.
And
to hear.
You know, they well, were aiming for they were like, I mean, Gareth Evans was up for.
I'll assume you're right because I don't think Doug Liman would have said yes otherwise if the script wasn't good.
Yeah,
I don't think there's time either for to work.
I know
on
Channing was really hard, like wanted him because of what he brings because he does bring like a lighthearted action like Mr. and Mrs. Smith. There's funny parts. They want this. To have that kind of sense as well. They don't want it to be like a very dark movie. They want this character is fun, so they want it to be.
Well, I think
fun.
Is that Fox's approach to the superhero stuff in general, where like, you know, Fantastic Four I think maybe took a dark turn and it didn't work out.
Sure.
And could the Fox movies essentially be an antidote to the darker DC stuff?
Maybe we'll see.
That's a good call.
I mean, Marvel.
Well, DC
has the corner on the darker superhero stuff.
Right. Can we? I know we got to wrap it up here pretty quick, guys. But,
yeah, it's in 5 minutes.
Yeah, 5 minutes. I just want to get your thoughts on this. Charles Roven did. If we're talking dark DC again, if we can rope around to Suicide Squad, a lot of people are wondering about the rating that's been kind of mentioned. And
we knew they were going PG.
Yeah, guys. I think that you hear Suicide Squad, you hear the villains of the DC universe, you hear it's darker. If they make it R-rated, that's going to really shrink an audience. Wouldn't you agree, guys? I mean, so the PG-13,
you're not
going to
get it. There will never be a $1 billion R-rated film. And right now, Warner's, I mean, you've seen they've had a rough stretch this year. They need Batman and Superman to work. They need Fantastic Beasts to work. They need Suicide to work. And all three of those films, I feel, need to be $1 billion.
Thematically, we just assumed because it's about villains, it would be R or something. But yeah, it's also part of the DC universe. Chuck Roven said he wants these films to be tonally consistent.
Yep.
So it's not like... Oh, if it was R-rated, and only adults saw it, then there's like a gap there, for all the 13-year-olds.
No, your R-rated comic book movie, guys, is going to be Deadpool. That's what's awesome about Deadpool.
That's what you get.
That's what you get, and it fits the character. And, look, there's a way to make Suicide Squad, and it's David Ayer. I mean, he's great. So I'm very excited
Like,
I don't worry about the PG-13 with this one.
I'm not as worried, not with Die Hard. Terrified when they say PG-13 or aliens that needs to be R, Prometheus needs to be R.
Yeah.
But Suicide Squad is still a Batman-esque, Superman-esque movie. Those are PG-13, always have been, always will be. Don't worry. Yeah. I'm not too worried.
All right. And fine. Chat room, fine. Wonder Woman. What the hell? Everybody's asking about Wonder Woman. Look, we heard.
Yeah, I don't have anything else.
There's nothing new.
Nothing new is out there. They're gearing up to shoot.
Well, now since I have Kroll in the hot seat.
Let's do it.
Why didn't you follow on Wonder Woman?
The dates with HBO.
I feel like it
was too far apart. I've done the Chris Pine. I've got some good sources on this project.
Yeah.
Normally it's a no comment, do what you gotta do. They press don't do this right now. Because you could look like, and I almost felt like it was going to fall apart tomorrow type thing. There's just some things I choose not to do sometimes.
I understand. I was just personally curious. I know that there's a scheduling obstacle with Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
She is a producer on the HBO thing, which I think could maybe help her a little.
Maybe. I feel like.
We'll see.
You know how HBO is like, oh, by the way, with the Quarterly stuff, their deal's not done and she still has to get leftovers approval on HBO. HBO kills so many deals. Like Alexander Skarsgård on True Blood had so many options to do other stuff because, his agent saw what he was. They killed so many things because they give their creative people over there. So the Lena Dunhams. Remember Lena Dunham and Adam Driver on Star Wars? That wasn't a given because of his schedule.
Right.
I mean, that show, how could Adam Driver not get away from that? So that's why with this, I feel like HBO is still bigger than some of these studios. Me and Jeff deal with them all the time. It's amazing.
But HBO is also a sister studio to Warner Brothers.
I don't think that matters. I think that you never hear about them so much.
Basically, I did it knowing that there was a potential scheduling obstacle. I still had to do it considering the offer was out.
I
get it.
Look, what I like about that.
She has the offer.
And for the audience out there, these are things that are happening. Whether or not it works out, it can be scheduling. And that's just, I always go to your Doctor Strange Joaquin Phoenix scoop. Look, that was awesome. And it was right on.
Uh-huh.
And it just didn't happen. So this is another thing that can happen.
It's like the deal making is in Hollywood's hands. It's just my, I'm reporting
every
snapshot. In time of the process.
It's a case-by-case thing with every single thing. People always wonder, why don't you break when you knew like this? Because it's different. Like I said, if I was in LMIMB's situation, I probably would move on stuff. And he's holding back on more stuff now. If I say certain things and time again they fall apart, my track record's going to – it's like a batting average.
Right.
Like if you like – you can hit as many like home runs as you want, but if you're betting 190, they're not going to keep you in the majors many long. I can like,
I hear you.
You know,
that's a good analogy.
Yeah, and just came up to with comment on that personally, guys. When one of these things doesn't work out, and you're very quick to say you're never right. You know, it's just I see you guys saying that out there on the Twitter sphere, on the live chat, whatever it might be. Look, when the trades report on this is my personal opinion as running these sites that cover your stuff. I trust you every time.
Yeah.
Every time. I will, because I know it's almost there.
There was the thing.
Listen, okay, let me pull back a little bit. No, I'm going to stand by that because you guys, I do trust these things. And when it falls apart, I know why. Oh, it was scheduling. Oh, no, they didn't do it right. Oh, Joaquin Phoenix just doesn't want to do Marvel movies. That's it.
We do things from time to time for sources, whether it's adding a name on a short list who really shouldn't be there.
Well,
I love the idea that when Will Eubank was rumored for Fast and Furious 8.
Know,
I think you and Boris maybe mentioned that. I had heard Neil Moritz didn't even know who he was.
Okay.
So.
My point being is that.
I didn't do that for a source. He got his name out there somehow.
It's a grind that these guys do. So when a scoop doesn't work out, it's not that you're always wrong. Name. You know? But, anyways. All right, guys.
Yeah, we got to wrap it up. And there's a lot we missed. I'm sorry. We want to talk about crazy Golden Globe category placements.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to talk a little bit more about AFI and the stuff that I saw. But we're not even going to be able to do that. This is our last show for November, or at least my last show.
Yeah, I'm still trying to work out.
Yeah,
we might be back next Friday with me and maybe a guest TBD, but... I don't know yet. I will keep you.
Yeah, I head back to Boston for Thanksgiving. So everyone have a wonderful holiday. Justin, are there any stories you want to pimp that are coming out? Stuff you're working on, not like casting stuff, but interviews or anything.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be busy Friday. I want to go home. Early.
Yeah, are you dropping bombs today?
Not as of right now. You never know. Like it's just funny. Like that again. Like that. We'll see.
Things fall into your lap. Yeah.
There may be something big before Thanksgiving. Just keep your eye on my Twitter. There may be something really big before Thanksgiving.
I like it.
I'm on it already, Kroll. You better post right now.
You might be. but that's all I can say. Oh, and also it could push till next year. So I don't know.
and where can the good people find you?
I'm at Kroll J Var, KROLLJVAR, variety.com.
What's your Instagram? Are you on Instagram?
I am on Instagram. Just Kroll.
Oh, okay.
I won't follow you, but you're more than welcome to follow me. I could use the social media, Facebook.
Yeah,
I'm on.
Kroll, sure. Kroll has a baller Snapchat, Hollywood lifestyle.
But
so.
I don't do Snapchat story as much. I just send my friends stupid photos. So yeah, there's my
never
send
me anything, Justin. Unbelievable.
Are you on Snapchat?
You're like
45 years old,
man.
Like you're not on Instagram. You're not barely on. All you're on is Twitter, and we've.
That's
and
all that, I do.
Maybe you should do more Instagram and calm me down a little bit.
Yeah, broaden my portfolio. I'm Jeff Snyder at The Wrap. Stay tuned. We're gonna have an interview with Daniel Stern.
That's
in honor of the Home Alone 25th anniversary.
Awesome.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah, find me on at the Insider.
There you go.
Thanks for watching,
25
guys.
Years.
And guys, as always, I am at Riley Around. You can find me at geeknation.com. Stay tuned. Today I'm going to drop a little editorial about Negan being cast in The Walking Dead because I'm a huge Walking Dead fan.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah, Jeffrey Dean Morgan. That's not really movie press.
Watch
but
Fargo. Not enough.
That's all I'm hearing.
So good.
I'm only watching one TV show now, and it's Walking Dead because I don't know why. It's just the time I have.
That's a whole other show we can talk about TV.
Yes, we could. So guys, please join us here every Friday on the Popcorn Talk Network for Meet the Movie Press. Like us on Facebook and go ahead on iTunes. Rate, subscribe, and share with your friends. I always like to say it keeps the lights on here in the spaceship. We will see you hopefully next week, guys. We'll keep you updated. If not, happy Thanksgiving. See ya.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.